I have a, before I get into the first thing I was going to say, I scratched the middle of my glasses this week on Thursday, a spot about that big directly in the center of this side, and it almost changed my message because I thought, boy, that would preach. There's something blocking my vision, and it's annoying, but I can't get rid of it, but I didn't. But we have a, Mackenzie, Michaela, and I, every Sunday morning, we get up and we go get coffee before church. And I told them today, I said, today is one of those days that in the dead of winter, you can't wait for a day like this is going to be. This is going to be a beautiful day. Just feel very thankful this morning for what God's done for me. And I want to talk a little bit this morning about having a servant's heart. I'm going to start in John chapter 13. And this is very familiar to all of us, but this is when Jesus was washing the feet of his disciples. And obviously we're just getting through, you know, on the other side of Easter, and my mind has been along these lines heading into Easter, and then it still is. But I'm going to read verses 4 through 17, and then everything's going to kind of come out of that this morning. John 13, starting in verse 4, and I'm reading in the NIV translation, if some of you have the ability to switch over back and forth. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, Peter said, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. I'll pause there for a second. I don't believe Jesus was only talking about his feet in that moment. Unless we are washed, we have no part with him. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. And Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, not everyone is clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Verily, truly, very, very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. I don't think that's new to anybody sitting here, that passage. But my heart's been on that and what we were taught in that moment. And we had feet washing, not this past Wednesday, Wednesday before, we had feet washing communion. And it struck me there just, and I'm not saying that it doesn't take any humility to do what we did on that Wednesday. I don't mean that. But it was the heart approach that Jesus was teaching there. I may be the only one here that does this prior to feet washing, but I make sure my feet are presentable. To be fair, there's not a lot I can do with them. It kind of is what it is. But I make sure that at least what I have is as good as they can be. In this day, when Jesus was doing this, it was not uncommon to wash feet. That was not something that didn't happen on a regular basis. It usually was done by a servant. What was uncommon there was that Jesus was doing it. They had open-toed sandals, dirt roads. When he's washing their feet, it is a necessary thing. No one trimmed their toenails prior to that. So when Jesus got down, he starts washing the disciples' feet. I don't know how many he did before he got to Peter. It doesn't sound like Peter was the first, but Peter was who he was. So when he got to him, he said, absolutely not. No, no, no. You're not going to wash my feet. There was confusion probably among them, like, what's going on? There's a servant supposed to be doing this. Why is Jesus doing this? And he goes on to tell them, you know, this has to happen. And he wants to show the humility, the attitude of heart. So I want to start there, that we get a grasp on where my mind and my heart is at this morning. The attitude of heart that we should approach people with. What is going to get into people's hearts? It's the attitude of service. It's a servant's heart. And we need to learn to serve others before they can learn to trust us. I've mentioned this before up here, and I don't want to keep beating the drum, but when I started at the truck garage, the fleet maintenance facility for Provia, I was a nervous wreck. I am not a mechanic. I can do very basic things, and I mean extremely basic. And that, when that position opened, it was very abrupt. It wasn't expected. And there was nobody to train me how to do that job, and it would not have totally mattered anyway, because I am not a mechanic. And I knew that going in there were several that had, when it had opened up, they had said, hey, when you go to fill that position, I would like to have a chance at that. And they worked there, and they had forgotten more about that than I know. But they weren't given, that opportunity wasn't presented to them, and here I am, I show up. And for a long time, and I still do this from time to time, but I did it every day for a long, long time. I would go early, and I would just sit in the parking lot, and I would pray. And I would say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to win the confidence of these people. I can't teach them anything. I can't help them with their job. I can't go out there and give them advice on what I would do in this situation. I can't do that. I don't know what to do. And I felt God say to me, you are trying to win their confidence, and you're not trying to win their trust. You need them to trust you. You're trying to show that they can have confidence. And when I say that, some of you probably don't know what I'm getting at there. See, confidence is something that you can see. If I'm going to walk into a room and pick four other people to play basketball with me, I'm going to look at some physical traits and some things and not have any idea if the athleticism backs it up. But I'm going to say, he's tall. I kind of want him on my team. I have confidence that he can probably do what I want him to do. Trust is after you've been with that person and you know what they can do. So I want to earn their trust and not their confidence. And it started to shift something in my head. And I've said this before in our discipleship class, and I may have said it, you know, to most here, but it dawned on me that our faith is made up of confidence and trust. And I've used this example many times, and I'll do it again. We used to have our favorite dog. We've always had a dog, and our favorite dog we ever had was Buddy. He was an English Mastiff. And if you know anything about dogs, English Mastiffs are gigantic. And at his peak, he was about 220 pounds, and when he would stand up, his paws could go on my shoulders, and he towered over top of you. In fact, we were missing loaves of bread, and we were sure that we had bought loaves of bread, and we also were sure that we were putting those in the cupboard, and it didn't make any sense. Where's it going? And as we were cleaning up the yard, we found plastic loaves of bread in those piles of cleanup. And we discovered that Buddy would walk in the house if the sliding door was open. He would put his paws on our counter. He would open our cupboard, grab a loaf of bread from the cupboard, and take it outside and eat it. It is not uncommon to have uncommon. He didn't close the cupboard. But we also have a teenage boy, so an open cupboard is not something that's an alarming thing. So just to give you an idea, this dog, he was humongous. And if I would pull in the driveway or anybody else would come in the driveway, it'd be me, you, or the Amazon driver, he barked the exact same way. And it sounded like he was going to rip the doors off the hinges of the car and drag you out and shake you like a rag doll. And I had confidence he could do that. But I trusted that he was not. I trusted his intentions. Confidence was in his ability, what I could see. The trust was in the intentions that you can't see. So I would just get out of my car, and I'd rub his gigantic head, and he would shake it and cover me with slobber, and I would walk in the house. The Amazon driver would come in. He barked exactly the same way. And the Amazon driver had the exact same level of confidence in what he could do to him if he got out of that car. What he didn't have was trust in his intentions. So he stayed in the car. I don't trust him. I don't know. What my eyes tell me, I can't back up with what I can't see. I don't trust him. And that is our faith. How many times have we asked God to do something knowing full well he can, but our trust is hindered because we don't know if he will? So here I was, back to this new position with this kind of insight that God had given me, that you're not going to earn their confidence because you don't have the understanding, but you can earn their trust. You can earn their trust. And you can earn their trust by being a servant, by having a servant's heart. So I started to try to just look for things, anything I could do, because ultimately I want to not just lead people at work, but lead people to God. I wanted to lead people, and that's what we're called to do, and that's where my heart's at. And so I started praying just to find something. Our parking situation is a little better now, but at that time there wasn't hardly any parking. It was very difficult. So I would come in every morning, and I would park at the farthest spot away. And I didn't come in and say, hey, did you see where I parked today? So you guys had a better spot? I just started doing it. And one day I was coming in, and it was raining, and I was kind of trotting in, and someone was holding the door, and they said, that'll teach you for parking clear out there. And I was like, oh, yeah, but you know, it would have been nicer to be closer or something. And they said, why do you park out there like that every day? I said, well, somebody probably has to. I said, and I figure I'd rather be me running in through the rain than somebody else. And they didn't say anything. But things started to shift. And I still didn't have any knowledge or ability to help throughout the day, but I could find ways to serve. We have almost 200, well, actually a little over 200 semis now, and there's a lot of breakdowns over the road. Well, that is probably one of the least enjoyed things, is to take calls in throughout the evening and in sometimes into the night of drivers that are broke down. I don't know how to fix it, but I can facilitate the logistics of how that's going to work. That I can do. So I said, let me do that. Let me do that. Let me find that way to serve. That's something I can do. So I started to do that. And God started to help shift the way people were seeing me. And there was a trust that was happening by things that I was doing that they knew they could trust my intentions. We were able to start making process changes, and things started to change. The morale at that facility was not very good at that point. It's kind of unsung heroes, in my opinion, where I use the phrase quite a bit with them, that we're kind of the grease that if it's done correctly, it moves smoothly. If it's missing, things can come to a screeching halt very quick. But no one really takes time to praise the grease. So we started a morale committee, and there was a young girl in the office there that was just great at that. And I said, let's do something once a month. And I said, whatever they decide they want, I'll cook whatever that is. I can do that. And God started to change things for me at that garage. And when people start to trust you and the doors start opening up for conversations. They start to thirst a little bit. The Holy Spirit does what he wants to do. And he starts to soften and they start to trust. and they start to be curious about why this feels different. It's been 3 years. It was 3 years and a few months ago. And in the course of those 3 years, and when I say this, I am not taking 1%, zero, I want no, none of the credit. Please don't hear what I'm not saying. But two people have been saved. One of those people has started a Bible study with high school kids that I'm helping him with, and it has, last count, 30 high school students have given their hearts to God, and all 30 have been baptized. And I want to be extremely clear. I do not want this to sound like it's anything that I have done, but God has opened that door because they began to trust me because they parked at the farthest spot. That's what started the shift. A servant's heart. When we look back in John 13, that's what's being taught here. That is the attitude of heart that we approach people with, that we serve them. We find ways. We have different talents and skills and different. Barry this morning, some of his thoughts aligned with what I'm saying and just how different experiences of our life give us opportunity to be able to serve others. Because if they trust us, they believe us. They believe what we say. The first day I was down there, the garage manager was talking to me and he said, I just want to know that I can trust you. It's the first thing he said to me, or one of the within the first 5 minutes. And I said, well, I can promise you. I said, I don't know anything. I'm the dumbest person in every room that I'm going to walk into here. Exactly what I said. I'm the dumbest person that's going to walk into each room with what we're doing. But I can promise you, you can trust me. If it comes out of my mouth, it is the truth. I promise you. You can take that to the bank and cash that check. I will be honest with you. You can trust my intentions. One of the people that was saved at that garage had been in church his entire life. Growing up, he had a godly mom and dad. We have talked since then quite a bit. And he said to me, some of the conversations that we've had since I've been here, I haven't heard for 20 years. He said, when I got out of high school and got away, got into college, he said, I stopped going to church altogether and really wanted nothing to do with it at all. And he said, some of the stuff, not just me, but some of the stuff at work that he sees on a monthly basis and a weekly basis, he said, all these old memories and all these things that I remembered from growing up just came back. Whew. And I said, you know, you had seeds planted that hadn't had water in 20 years. And when you had it watered, God gave the increase. When you saw people willing to serve and to live out what you heard when you were young, that's what God wants us to do as we serve people. People know the way. It's amazing to me, the older I get, the more people I talk to. Sometimes you know, what we see visibly with this person, you would think they have never even seen the inside of a church building. And you talk to them, and they grew up in church. They know so much, and you have these conversations. And it's terrible that we can be that way, but we do. You prejudge as people come up sometimes, and they have a knowledge. They have somebody. They need someone to water, someone to be there for them. I often say this, but it's kind of, I don't say maybe easy, but it's fairly easy to serve your own family. It just is. We have a different love for our family. But the real power, in my opinion, is when you are serving somebody else's family. When it's a different voice. When someone is when you're feeding into somebody else's child's life or somebody else's husband or somebody else's wife, when you're feeding into them with service and you're giving them this servant's heart that Jesus is teaching us, when you're giving them those things, the power that comes from that God uses, because it's not expected on their end. They expect a lot of times their family members to treat them a certain way and be a certain. But when you can do it for somebody else, the power for that is just unbelievable. Now, are we looking for people that we can do that for? Is our heart that way? Barry's lesson this morning in Sunday school, I appreciated about our calling and what we're called to do and be. And are we intentional about the calling God has for us? We all have different gifts. And when I was, I don't know, maybe it's been 10 or 12 years ago, 15 years ago maybe, I tore my ACL, MCL, and meniscus in my left knee. We were playing basketball, and we had a meeting through the week, and some of the youth wanted my brother and I to come play them in basketball, 3-on-3. And it had been a long week, and they were going to go over towards Berlin somewhere. I really didn't want to go over there. I was tired, and I said, I think I'm just going to go home, fellas. And they, oh, come on, you know. And they had some friends that were up from, I think, Chicago area. And I went home, and I told Sheila, I said, I kind of feel bad a little bit. I said, those young boys kind of look up to us. I said, I might maybe run over there for a game. She said, okay, yeah. So I called or something. I said, I'm coming over. So I came over. And we were on the last point of the game, and we were playing, I think, to 21, and it was not close. It was we were up by, I don't know, quite a bit. And so I was dribbling in, and I had kind of decided if they don't come up to stop me, I'm just going to have a layup. If they do come up, I'm just going to pass it to Mike, and he's going to score, and I'm going to go home. When I tried to stop, my left knee just went. And I hit the ground with an extreme amount of pain and apprehension. And I knew that whatever that was, my knee's never done that movement before. And that's new. That's new, and I didn't like it. But the person who had the most concern for me was my brother. Not because he's my brother, but because my brother also tore both ACLs, on both knees. Tore his ACL on both knees, better way to say it. I think this ACL, MCL, meniscus in both knees, as I understand. So not only was he my brother, but he had been through that, and he knew the physical pain, the anxiety, the apprehension, the worry, the concern, the things bouncing around in your head. How am I going to work? You know, these responsibilities, these things to do, just your mind's just going 1,000 miles an hour. But the things that he had went through in his life to that point put him in a spot mentally where he could relate and have a certain level of pity that people who have not been through that could not. So we have all these experiences in this building this morning. All these things, tough spots, good times, bad times, raising kids, kids making good choices, poor choices, seeing them succeed, seeing them fail, us succeeding, us failing, and all these people around us that are going through the same thing. And we have this life experience that is our own. And we can serve them. We can see those moments and walk up to them, pull them aside and say, hey, I've been praying for you. I remember when I went through this. And the power that is, not just in this church, but as we are at work and as we're around people that are lost, the differences, the different experiences in our life and the way that we can connect with people and find these. I don't know what to do. But we find these different ways. I still don't know what to do. Me feels like it's me, but is our heart a heart of a servant? Are we humbly looking for ways to show people what God has done for us? What God's done for us? Are we finding these? I don't know. Maybe I should take this off, but my voice is not loud enough probably without it. I'm trying to get it far away from me. This never happens to Josh. What's he doing different? But are we looking for ways to be a servant? Are we looking for avenues? They're there. I promise you they're there. And maybe we are, but let's continue. Maybe we are, but there's people hurting around us that think they're hiding it and absolutely are not hiding it. And we hear from time to time around grabbing coffee in the morning, you hear them say something, hey, how was your weekend? Ah, it was all right. And we have these moments where we can just start to peel something back. And we can have time just to listen. I have a guy at work that I'm still trying to talk to, and he made a comment to me, and I'm sorry about this. I don't know how to change it. If I would, I would already have changed it. But he said to me, he said, you're so easy to talk to about these things. He said, so is your brother. Must be, you guys just have it alike. And I said, well, we have the same father. I said, I don't mean my dad. I said, it's not as deep as what we'd like to make it sometimes. I said, we just care about you. They noticed that. The amount of times he's come into my office to talk about things he's struggling with, because you take time to listen, and you take time to serve, and you have a servant's heart. It doesn't mean you're taking out the trash every day, literally and physically. It means that you're just available to serve and even just listen. Is that where our heart's at? Because that's where it has to be. That's where God wants it to be. He wants us to be about his business. He wants us to be his hands and his feet. He wants us to serve others, and he's teaching us that here in John 13. And there's so many other. I didn't want to overshadow this with a bunch of turning. I just wanted to lay out the attitude of heart that Jesus is teaching here. On the other side of Easter, this should be our attitude all the time. Who can I reach today? Who can I serve? What do they need? And you're just actively looking for people. They're so hungry and thirsty, and they want someone to care, and they think nobody cares about what they're going through. So let God speak to you and through you. The praise team can come up. Let him guide your thoughts. I pray almost daily that show me somebody that I can talk to today. Give me somebody that needs to hear something. It doesn't have to be the plan of salvation, but I don't know what to do. I don't know. But whatever I can do, if it's just listening about their son's Little League game, give me that opportunity. If it's just whatever, insert your own experience here. But anything that God can do for us to give us these opportunities, because this is my desire. My desire is to eventually sit down with them and say, where are you at here? But that starts with hearing that his son went 0 for 3 yesterday. And we laugh about it and we talk about that. But find ways to serve them by just listening and be there for them. And just let God, what happens if everybody here has that attitude for the next month? What does it look like? If we all just say we're going to work and do whatever God wants us to do, we're going to listen when he wants us to listen, and we're going to put the brake pedal down when he wants us to do that. What happens when that happens?
Would you please stand as we sing?